This is a life-changing message from New Light Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Dr. I.V. Hilliard.
It's my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by word of God. Amen. All right, there in Matthew chapter 9, our foundational text has been there, the story where Jesus was dealing with two blind men. Pick it up in verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" And they said unto him, "Yea, Lord." Then touched he their eyes, saying, watch this now, "According to your faith be it unto you." And that's the subject of this teaching, according to your faith, be it unto you. Faith development concepts is what we've been teaching. And we have this is our seventh lesson. First lesson, we began to talk about faith's importance. As I said prior to actually starting the tape, the lifestyle we live is because of the principles that I'm teaching you. We learn these principles, we operate on them, they work for any person who will work them. Amen. Next lesson began to deal with the various components of the faith process. And we talked about asking, we talked about believing, we talked about confession, we talked about corresponding action, we dealt with patience. You know, we're getting ready now to deal with another aspect of faith, and that is how to receive the promises of God by faith. We've got all of the principles down. And now it's time for application. So we're going to show you how to apply what we've taught you in principle, how to put it in practice day by day. All right, turn with your Bibles to Mark chapter 11. For every promise, every principle, every prophecy, there's a faith process to bring it to pass. So I must understand the importance of faith. That the Bible says, just shall live by faith. So it becomes a lifestyle. Not something you do to get a house, not something you do to get a car. It has to become a lifestyle for it to be effective and for you to have maximum productivity. Mark 11, verse 22. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. And some translations, it's the God kind of faith. And that's what we refer to this passage as Jesus is teaching them how to have the God kind of faith. For verily I say unto you, I want you to look closely at this tonight, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you feel good about them, believe you receive them, and you... Feelings nowhere in here, right? Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and what'll happen? You should have them. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. So here Jesus talks about the process of faith. And what we want to deal with tonight is the promises of God are received by faith. Out of this passage, I want you to look closely and see that your feelings are not a factor in the faith process. How you feel is not a factor. So you cannot judge the process by your feelings. Amen. You cannot. The Bible says Abraham considered not. So you got to consider not how you feel. My greatest faith victories have come when my feelings were sending contrary signals. Because feelings have nothing to do with God's word. Amen. So your criteria has to change. You got to believe based on the word of God and not whether or not you feel good about it. Amen. Now turn to Galatians now. Galatians chapter 3. The reason faith is so important, one of the primary reasons it's important, because God has all these promises. The scriptures filled with the promises of God that he's made with his covenant people, but they must be obtained by faith. So we want to talk in a little more detail on how to release faith for various things. All right. Now, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written, curses everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. How? Through faith. All right. So this passage is in its context. It's talking about receiving the promise of the Spirit. But it's a universal principle that all of the promises of God are received by faith. All of them. Now, this was an eye-opener for me years ago when I saw this, because I had questions about why it looked like God was working for some and wasn't working for others. But the answer is right here. Promises of God are received by faith. God is not a respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of faith. Amen. So that meant for me, all I needed to do was develop my faith. If I wanted to receive the promises of God, I had to master faith. Now, when you've mastered it, that means you can apply it. Amen. And we talked about reaching the point of mastery starts first with being exposed to instruction. After being exposed to instruction, then I have to take it upon myself to study. That is, intensely looking at it. Then, of course, I need patterns. I need some examples. And then I need to practice. I need to actually, you know, come out of the laboratory, into the crucible of life, and actually do it. You can never ride a bicycle just with somebody explaining the process to you.
That's right.
Amen. Yeah. You don't do it like that. How many know you got to get out there, you know, with your knee pads on, whatever, and work the process until you perfect it. Turn to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. Now put your ribbon here in Galatians, because we'll come back there. Four things are required to walk in any truth. Number one, a revelation. That is an understanding of that truth at the level of your comprehension. Number two, a role model. I need to see that truth lived out in the life of another, either historical or contemporary, because it is the order of God to teach us and to train us by example. So examples are very, very important. Number three is a regimen of faith. That is a systematic way of applying God's word in my situation so that I can get the promised results. I need to know how to do it. It's not enough to tell me what can happen if I do it. I need to know step by step how to do it. Amen. And then number four, a righteous resolve. That's a godly heart, the right motive in doing it. Now, in Proverbs chapter 20, there in verse, because we're going to give you wisdom tonight, there in verse 5, Proverbs 20 and 5, it says, counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will what? Will draw it out. So it says, when a person receives counsel and wisdom, you know, it's like a deep well. But when a person understands it, then he can profit from it. He can draw it out or make application of the wisdom and knowledge that you give him. So I'm going to be very simple tonight, because I want you to get this. If you get it, you go to a whole nother level of living in your life. Amen. And you will get it. Turn now with me the Bibles to Romans chapter 8. We must be settled in our hearts that it is our right to have our right to the promises of God. I have a right to expect the promises of God to manifest in my life should I operate by faith. If I operate by faith, it ought to happen. I have a right to them. And you have to establish that. You got to know that when you go to the Old Testament and when you go to the New Testament and you look at these promises, you have to be establishing in your heart that, yes, that's my right. And we're going to show you that, because I think we have taken salvation to a point, but we need to take the whole package of salvation. That what I really got in salvation was more than fire insurance. I see most people just settle for the fire insurance part, then now you're going to miss hell. So I'm like, fire insurance? What do you mean fire insurance? Missing hell. Hell, hot, fire, you're not going there, insurance. Oh my God. Romans chapter 8, are you there? Oh my God. Oh boy. Romans chapter 8, look at verse 17. It says, if children then, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. I want you to look at the first part of that verse. If children, then heirs, talking about us now, and what? Joint heirs. Joint heirs with Christ. Everybody say joint heirs. Now turn to Galatians now, chapter 3. I told you to put your ribbon there because we'd go back there. Galatians chapter 3. Now, Galatians chapter 3, I want you to look with me now in verse 16. It says, now unto Abraham and his seed where the promise is made. So that means when God was talking to Abraham, he was talking to Abraham, and he was talking to Abraham's seed. Got it? So he made the promise to Abraham, and he made the promise to Abraham's seed. So whatever God promised Abraham, in principle, he also promised it to Abraham's seed. All right, now, it says, and to, he saith not to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So the promise God made to Abraham, he made it to Abraham's seed. And he clears it up so you won't misunderstand it. He said he's not talking about seeds as you would think about descendant children, even though they would be included. He said he made it to Abraham's seed. And then he tells you who this seed is. So he said the promise God made to Abraham, he made it also to Abraham's seed, which means he made it to Jesus. Amen. Now watch this. Look there at verse 29. If ye be Christ, oh my God, this one won't shout, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Oh my God. Isn't that simple? We find out we're heirs, joint heirs with Christ. Whatever Christ gets, we get. That's one witness. Now we all go over in Romans and we found out that God made the promise to Abraham and to his seed, and the seed was Christ. And then if we be Christ, then are we Abraham's seed and then heirs according to the promise. Oh my God. Amen. So in principle, what God promised Abram, that same promise was as though God was speaking to you right now. That's right. Amen. I'll make your name great.
That's right.
I'll bless you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Now, so are we settling that? Did I have a right to it? Amen. Look at the person next to us. Do you really believe it? Amen. No, you got to really believe it. So you got to really believe when you're looking at the promises that God made to Abram, and those promises, you know, of course, are passed down to children of Israel and all that. You got to understand, in principle, those things are my right today. Amen. They are my right today. Everybody say today.
Amen.
Amen. Now, come with me in your Bibles. Now to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. The will of God does not automatically come to pass. The will of God is not automatic. If the will of God was automatic, everybody would be saved without having put forth any effort. Because the Bible says God's not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. So it's clear, crystal clear from the word of God, it's God's will for everybody to be saved. Now, everybody will not be saved because they will not do what is required to receive the salvation that has been offered and provided. So I rest my case, the will of God is not automatic. You have to do something to bring the will of God to pass in your life. Amen. Now to me, that answered, for me, years ago, that answered millions of questions that I had in my mind. Because I was waiting on God, and I understand, hey, God's waiting on me. But that's okay. He had to wait no longer. Once I found out the key, then he had to wait no longer. I was ready to take part in the process of obtaining the blessings that he had for me. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, are you there? There's a... where did I tell you to go? I told you to go Deuteronomy, didn't I? All right. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Starting there in verse 1, it says, and it shall come to pass that if thou shalt hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings that shall come upon thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. Now he talks about the blessings of obedience that come on our lives, which mirrors in essence and in principle the blessings that God pronounced upon Abraham. And when we look in this, we can see, look in this passage and look in other passages in the scripture that were written by the inspiration of God, and all scripture written by inspiration, we see that the promises of God cover every aspect of life. Deuteronomy 30:19 tells us I have to choose it. Blessing and cursing set before me, but I have to choose life. So you got to choose to have God's best in every area of your life. Now I see five categories of promises. promises that cover material matters, promises that cover health matters, promises that cover emotional matters, promises that covers relational matters, and promises that covers ministry matters. Now, in the context of this lesson, we're not going to be able to touch them all, but we will touch at least two of them so you'll be able to see how the principle is applied. Now, there are variables that impact or affect the manifestation process. There are variables, there are things, there are factors that are involved that do affect the process working for you. I want to address those quickly, and then we'll get into the step-by-step. Jeremiah 5:25. The besetting sin is a factor. Amen. Sin kills the benefits of righteousness. In fact, Deuteronomy 28 takes the first 14 verses to talk about what happens if you obey. And then it takes the next several verses, which is the bulk of the chapter, and talks about what happens if you disobey. In fact, there are 68 verses in Deuteronomy. 14 of the 68 talk about what happens when you obey. And that means what? 54 talk about what happened if you disobey. I think God's trying to get something across to you. That you're not going to have his best. Now, you can have what flesh can produce, but you can't have what the supernatural can produce and live a doggish life.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. All right. So you got to decide whether you want God's best or whether you want what flesh can produce. Amen. Flesh talent, and you know how you can finagle and, you know, scheme, that sort of thing. All right. Look at verse 25. It says, your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. So see, God's not withholding, but you can do things. You can be in sin, and sin kills the benefits of righteousness. Amen. All right, number two in these variables of faith is the will of man. God will not violate the will of man. Now, some people are trying to believe for a husband and a wife and all that sort of thing, you know, and they picked out somebody they want to believe for. Well, God's not going to go against that person's will. Or you're trying to pray for somebody who's, you know, who's trying to overcome sickness and disease, and that person's will is involved, and you cannot override the will. The will of man is the most dominant factor in the earth. Even God will not override a man's will, and Satan can't either. So the will of man is a variable that will impact and affect the faith process. All right. Number three, the word of God. We say, why is that a variable? Because God will not operate outside of his word. You can't make God do something. Amen. You can't make, faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith, operation of faith is limited to what the word of God says God will or will not do.
Amen.
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 So I got to understand that God is limited or governed, as it were, by his word. Number two is the motive of my heart, the motive of my heart. And that is, my results are determined by my heart condition. Turn to Mark chapter 4. My results are determined by my heart condition. If my heart is not right, it can't affect the time factor. In Mark chapter 4, verse 26, where it talks about the sower, talks about the earth bringing forth fruit of herself. Now, you just make a note of that because I want to just go and talk you through it. And that is in the natural. Let's look at the natural situation. You can take quality seed and sow it in different types of soil, and the results will vary. The results vary not because of the seed, but because of the soil. The soil in the text in Mark chapter 4, the soil is synonymous to the heart of man or the spirit of man. So the quality or the condition of your spirit is going to affect the faith process. So I got to get my heart right, keep my heart right. Because if my heart's not right, my faith's not going to work. I can be doing everything right. You know, the confession, the believing. I can be mechanical in it. But the heart produces the results.
Amen.
Amen. Obedience in giving.
Amen.
That's another factor. Now, when I'm in faith, remember my expectations. One of my expectations was the plan of action. Got it? One of my expectations is favor. And there are laws governing favor. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9, there it says, when I'm a giver, that God causes all favor to abound toward me. Well, if I'm not a giver, I don't have access to favor. Well, if I'm not a tither, I'm not living under the blessing anyway. The curse and cancel the blessing. Amen. So my faith not going to work because I'm under the curse. Amen. I don't know how people think that. No, you're under the curse. Well, I got a new car. I don't care. Sinners got new cars. Amen. God didn't get that one to you. You got that one yourself.
That's right.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. Now, number six, the order of things. That's a variable. That God respects the order that he set up. So the order of things becomes a variable. And that is, here's the order of things. You believe for a child, takes 9 months, you know, so to speak, for a child to be born. Well, you can't believe for a baby and have a baby tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? You know, your own baby. I'm not talking about adopting a baby. I'm talking about you're going to believe for your own self baby. Now, I know that's not good English, but I think you understand what I'm saying. You follow me? You can't believe for that, you know, and then you'll get pregnant, you know, and conceive and deliver in 24 hours. No, the order of things has to be respected. You understand what I'm saying? So the order of things must be respected. And then the seventh variable are satanic hindrances. That there is, we have an opposer. He is the devil, and he wants to hinder you. The Bible says the thief comes to steal. So you got to understand, in the midst of your faith fight, that the devil comes to steal the word from you. Amen. So now those seven things are at work. This is not hard. It's not hard. I'm just letting you know what's going on. And it's there's a principle to cover each one of these. Amen. It's not difficult at all. Now, all right. Turn to Psalms 103. Did y'all get all seven of those variables now? Now again, besetting sin, the will of man, the word of God, the motive of heart, obedience in giving, the order of things, and satanic hindrances. Now let's look at some comprehensive patterns for releasing faith for the promises of God. We're going to talk about how to release faith for healing. Faith for healing. Amen. All right. 15 steps. Everybody say, there you go with those steps. Yeah, 15 steps. Well, it could be 25, you know. I just got 15 steps. All right. All right. Look there in verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth some of thy diseases? How many? My God, who healeth all thy diseases. And the Amplifier says he heals each one of them. Amen. Amen. Now, what I have to establish is my right to believe for healing. Okay? So that's number one. I must know it's the will of God. It's the will of God to be healed. It's God's will. It's the will of God to receive your healing. It's the will of God for you to be healed. Number two, I have to find the scriptures that promises me healing. Now, we just gave you one, but there's other scripture. You know, and what Peter was that? First Peter what? 2:24. Other passages in the Bible, other stories in the Bible where Jesus healed people. I want to find those scriptures. If I'm getting ready to release my faith for healing, I find those scriptures. Number three, I want to write them down. Not necessarily write them out longhand, but write the references of them down because I may need to go back to them. So I want to write these down and I want to read them out loud. Because faith comes by and hearing by the word of God. All right. Next, I'm going to pray a prayer that is based on the promises of healing that I found in the scripture. I'm going to pray my prayer because 1 John 5:14 says, and this is the confidence we have in him, if we ask anything according to his will. So when I ask according to his will, the Bible says, that's when he hears me. So I'm going to fashion a prayer that is based on these healing scriptures that I read. Amen. And no matter how I feel, I choose to believe what the word of God says that he's heard me. Amen. All right, number five. I want to fashion and speak a confession of faith in agreement with what the Word of God says. Now, 1 Peter 2:24 talks about by stripes I'm healed, and that's what I'm going to say. A faith confession is a statement I make in agreement with the Word of God. So I choose by an act of my will now to say what God's Word says about my situation. If I say I'm not sick, that's a lie. That's not what Jesus said. That's not what God says. God says, by stripes I'm healed. So I choose to make a statement in agreement with the Word of God. Number six, I explore what can be done in the natural to bring the healing. Why do I do that? Because the Bible says the natural is first. So I want to know. That means I'll go to the doctor. Doctor's going to work on the symptoms while my faith works on the problem. So I'm not out of faith when I go to the doctor. All right? Number seven, I'll thank God daily for my healing as a sacrifice of praise. Because we found out that God creates the fruit of my lips. So in the midst of my pain and my discomfort, I'm going to be thanking God. Father, I thank you. I believe I'm healed in Jesus' name. Taking my medicine. Oop, oop. Father, I just want to thank you. I'm offering a sacrifice of praise because he creates the fruit of my lips, and the fruit of my lips is the sacrifice of praise. What you got to lose? You're going to the doctor. I mean, so you got the natural, you know, you're doing what you need to do in the natural, and now you're doing what you need to do in the spiritual. So not only do you have a natural doctor working on it, but you got the spiritual doctor working on you as well. All right? Number eight, keep your thoughts in agreement by referring to God's word. In other words, that's the report you choose to believe. I mean, believing is my pride. It's up to me. I set the criteria for what I believe. I choose to believe what God's word says. Oh yeah, the doctor gave me the facts in the natural, but I know what the truth is. The truth is I am the healed, resisting sickness and disease. That's the truth. Amen. Glory to God. All right, number nine. Listen to teaching tapes daily on God's will to heal. You need to be listening to jazz. You ain't got time to listen to jazz. You need to be healed. Proverbs 4:22 says, the word is medicine to your flesh. So I understand when I'm listening to the word that the Bible says is medicine to my flesh. So I take my natural medicine, but I take my spiritual medicine also. All right, number 10, avoid debates with those who don't believe. You have time. You have no time now to be involved or even around the folk who don't believe. Now, the Bible says Jesus, and I think it's Mark chapter 5, in a certain situation, he went to heal. It was Jairus' daughter. I think it was Jairus' daughter. You know, and the folk was there. You know, she died. The girl's dead. And you know, this crying. Jesus comes and says, she's asleep. And they said, what'd you say? Jesus said, she's asleep. And it was wailing and carrying on. You know, oh, she died. And Jesus walked in and said, she's sleeping. They said, what? They quit crying. I said, what'd you say? And he said, she's sleeping. And then they just start laughing at it. See those swing of emotion from crying to laughing. Jesus just put them all out. Jesus said, you ain't gonna agree with me. I ain't gonna let you see the miracle. Get out of here. And I gotta tell you, there's some people you do not need around you when you're in a fight, especially if it's a terminal situation. There's some people who have seen, oh, and then please hear me. There's some people who have seen sickness and disease win so many times. They have no faith in the heart to believe. They've seen Annette die of this. They've seen, you know, Wanika die of this. You understand? They'll come just to see how bad it is. I mean, they don't mean no harm. No, serious. They don't mean no harm. But they're just coming to see. And look, now look. Here's how you know. Because they refer to you based on the condition they saw in it. Yeah, just about. And then it was like that too. In their heart, they said, won't be long now. It wasn't but 2 or 3 months after Annette looked like that. I'm telling you, some folk you don't need around. Amen. Some folk have not seen enough victory that in the tough times they can't stand with you. That's right. Where am I, number 11? Be sure to follow the doctor's orders. Amen. Because it will not affect your faith. So don't get intimidated. And don't let the devil push you to say, well, if you really believe you're healed, you shouldn't do that. See, a lot of folk die like that. Way too late. All right? Because, see, I got to understand, if I'm in a race and the person who I'm racing, a relay race, you know, and my guy gives me the baton late and the runner that I'm running against got a 50-yard jump on me. You got it? I may not catch up. You got it? But if I got somebody that can trip it, so if I get the baton late and I got the doctor that can slow that symptom down a bit, I can catch up and win this thing. See, just because I get the baton late don't mean I'm going to lose. So my doctor's working on me. He's helping me. He's giving me time for my faith to work on this. Y'all get this? Hallelujah. All right. Get others, number 12, get others who understand faith to agree with you for your healing. That is, get others who understand faith. You don't need sympathy. You need somebody who understands faith. Got it? To agree with you for your healing. Number 13, don't panic if the healing is not instantaneous. Results by faith are progressive. There were cases in the Bible says, and from that point time, and from that point in time, the person began to amend. They shall recover. So all healings are not instantaneous. They're not, that's the miraculous. So I'm not going to get frustrated if I got prayed for, hands got laid on me, you know, everybody agreed with me, and I didn't get it instantly. Because I understand, we talked about it, that faith is a process. Amen? And your results are progressive. Number 14, I want to list the symptoms and rejoice as each one disappears. Glory to God. You know, when I start out in this fight, I'm listing all the symptoms. Headache, you know, swimming in the head, you understand, high fever. You know, list them all. List them all, list them all, list them all, list them all. Because I'm going to chart this thing. You got it? And when I, well, you know, maybe, you know, at one time, you may not have been able to move your leg. You understand? Well, you still can't move your leg, but you can twinkle your toes. You go, ha ha, look at that. So you want to be able to list the symptoms and rejoice as you get victory. Those little small ones, little small victories. You follow me? That kind of really, you know, boosts your faith, let you know it's working. Yeah. Amen. All right. Why am I not number one? Number 15 already? We ain't get a chance to shout. Turn to Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. Now this is probably a very difficult one for a lot of people. All right, are you there? Verse 22. A merry heart doeth good like medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Amplified says, a happy heart is good medicine, and a cheerful mind works healing, but a broken spirit dries up the bone. Here's the point. Maintain an attitude of faith throughout the process. I mean, your attitude of faith, joyful attitude of faith. A merry heart does good like medicine. Amen. So my attitude and my mindset helps the process. So I'm not looking for everybody to be sorry for me. You know, if you want people to be sorry for me, would you hand me anything? You know, a lot of people don't want to get healed because they, you know, they have to start doing things for themselves. Amen. I mean, the Bible says a merry heart doeth good like what? Medicine. So cheer up. Amen. Cheer up. Look at the person and say, cheer up. Amen. See, but we've been conditioned, follow me, to want everybody to feel sorry for us. So we can be down to try to get more sympathy. But how you doing? Baby, I just don't know. Now, before the person come in, that is talking and carrying on, everything. Have you seen people do it like that? Okay. Come on, I got to go to my next one. All right, let's release faith now for material things. All right? Releasing faith for the material promises of God. Number one, know that it's God's will to bless you with material things. God has no problem with us having things. Amen? Number two, find the scripture that promises you the blessing. Material blessings. Number three, write them down and read them out loud. Number four, pray a prayer based on the promises of God in the scripture. And believe at that time you receive it. Got it? So I'm going to pray my prayer based on the scripture. Number four, fashion and speak a confession of faith in agreement with. That sounds like what we was doing about healing. Yeah, I know. It's the same process. We just got a different. We're going to change a little something down the road, but we all start off the same. That's so simple. Because if I can get it in one area, look, I don't have to learn a whole nother kind of concepts for the other. I just make the adjustments. Amen. First, I was doing it for healing with healing scripture. Now I'm doing it for prosperity scriptures. Amen. Once I get this thing down, right. Hey, it's like bicycles. I can ride all kind of bicycles. That's right. You know, it don't matter. I can ride them all once I learn the process. Yes. Well, I said bicycle. Cars. You can drive all kind of cars now. Right? You learn to drive? They don't put on your license. You can only drive this kind of car. Yeah. I mean, they give you a driving license. So you can drive all kind of cars. Ford if you want to drive Ford. Truck if you want to drive truck. You understand? Amen. Chevrolet, Buick, et cetera. Why am I not number what? Number six. Explore what can be done in the natural to acquire the thing. Number seven, thank God daily for what you believe you've received as a sacrifice of praise. Number eight, getting ready to be a little different now. Sow a financial seed for wisdom and favor for this acquisition. I got to give. See, there you go. You want to get into it. Look. Give and it shall be given unto you. When Abraham wanted to know some wisdom on how to obtain his inheritance, God said, give me an offering. And we'll talk about it. Amen. See, that's the way the system works. That's in Genesis 15 and 8. For some of y'all, I don't believe God would ask him for no money. See, that's because you got a wrong idea about money. Supernatural things happen when I give. Amen. I've been preaching that on the road this year. Supernatural things happen when I give. So I want to sow a seed for wisdom and for favor, all right, for this acquisition. Job 22, 27. 28, thou shalt decree a thing and be established unto thee after you pay your vow. Though. That's right. After you pay your vow, thou shalt decree a thing and it shall be established. And the light of his favor will shine on your path. If I want favor, I got to give. Amen. That's how it happens. Amen. All right. Number nine, keep your thoughts in agreement by meditating on the word of God. Keep your thoughts in agreement with what you're believing for by meditating. Listen to teaching tapes daily on material prosperity, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. I think I got 16 now. Confess the wisdom of God and that God orders your steps. Confess the wisdom of God and that God is ordering your steps in this process. Avoid debates with others who don't believe. Amen. Don't debate it. Just tell them, keep watching. Amen. When I started, you know, believing for prosperity, I was broke as I could be. Had to reach up to touch bottom. Needs had needs. I'm telling you, the kid was broke. Amen. And, you know, I tell folk, you know, I just tell them, you just keep watching. I said, man, I'll be so blessed around here. And the preacher would be laughing. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Okay, see, here, your problem is you're a dreamer. That's your problem. You need to face reality. My dreams are now my reality. Amen. But see, no sense in trying to explain to somebody who don't want to believe what you're telling them. So you got to be, see, you got to, if you need acceptance from them, then, you know, you'll try to make them understand so they can say, yeah, I didn't need acceptance from them. Because them fellas won't give me nothing anyway. Amen. And what they wanted to give me, I wanted more than that anyway. If they'd all emptied all their pockets, they wouldn't have been enough for what I wanted to go. Amen. Number. Find a natural example and learn from their successful efforts. Hebrews 6:12. Just make a note of it. I'm just going through the points. We already taught you this in the principal part. We're talking now about the practice. So I find somebody who used their faith to get a certain object, and I want to find out how they did it. And that's why Pastor gives so many testimonies. I do that so you can see the process. You got it? Talk about the difficult times. Talk about the no's. Talk about having the belief for God to raise up somebody to help you. Amen. You got it? Because I think you need to hear that so that when you're in your faith fight, you can remember, well, Pastor got turned down 20 times. Bank wouldn't give the church any money when we got rid of the bill. Pastor said, let's get started anyway. If we have to build it a brick a day, God give enough bricks, enough days, we're finished. Amen. So I tell you all that. And see, when I travel around the country, it's so funny. You know, people buy tapes from all over the country. That I be in some places. And we was in one place last year in Augusta. This lady come on. How come you didn't give them this testimony? She's going to tell me how to preach my sermon. She said, yeah, you should have gave this testimony at that point. After the service, she come up. This is a precious sister. Yes, sir. She's been watching the program for years, and she got all the tapes, and she just wanted me. She said, you should get this testimony right here. And we didn't tell them about the car. You didn't tell them about the bus. Well, I'm sure many of y'all like that. I started giving the testimony. You've heard it so many times that, hey, you kind of know where it's pastor going. Well, I'm going to continue to do that. Amen. All right, just about finish it. All right, watch this. Now, number what? 14. Diligently follow the natural order to the full extent of your integrity. In other words, do everything you can do without compromising your integrity and your witness. Diligently do it. Amen. All right. Number what? Don't get frustrated in the process. Remember, the results are progressive. All right. Chart your progress and rejoice at each step you make towards your goal. Amen. Amen. Remember when I used my faith, I'm going to close with this. I'm going to use my faith to get a car. And I got a car without credit or anything. And never forget it. God spoke to me and told me it's time for me to get a car. I standing in faith for one. And of course, you know, at that time I was driving an old raggedy car, and the preachers in town wasn't, and people were saying, well, if your pastor got so much faith, how come he got a raggedy car? Well, I didn't get no car because of them, because, you know, you can't ever stop people from talking. You have to learn that the critics don't criticize. That's why they're critics. And so God spoke and said, it's time to get a car. So I went to all these dealerships and got turned down. Went to banks, got turned down. One guy picked lint off his, y'all know I was going on, didn't you? Tell them, picked lint off his clothes while I made my offer. And then told me I'd never get a car. Told me I'd never get one. Said, not a new car. He said, that's a pipe dream you got. You need to go to one of these torture note lots. Well, you have to pay every week. Got it? Went back to the church and prayed. Then God put a banker on my heart. See, my steps are being ordered by the Lord now. And so I go right down the street to a banker. Had no business. We had no business. Has no bank account there, anything. Walk in the door. The guy walks up to me and said, preacher, what can I do for you today? Supernatural. I see my faith working on this thing. So then I tell him, I said, I want a car. He said, what kind of car you want? I said, a Mercedes. I'm growing in faith now, you understand, but I'm ready to go for the gusto. Now I said, well, stupid though. When the guy didn't say he wanted to finance a Mercedes, I didn't say, well, I'm getting up out of here. Look, I need to ride. And the guy told me, he said, well, you get a Mercedes one day, but what's your next choice? I want a Cadillac. He said, well, you get one of them one day. He said, but what's your next choice? I tell him, I want a Buick, Park Avenue, top of the line. Looked in the book, told me what I needed to pay, and said, okay, all right, go for it. And so I went to a dealership, picked one out, and called him back, went back to the place after I got the little write-up, and he said, well, how much money you have down? I told him, I don't have any money down. But I told him, you do as much as you can do, I'll do the rest. He financed 92% of the car. I called the bank. I still ain't got no money. I called the dealership back, called and told a guy I wanted to come and talk to somebody about trusting me, because I told my church I'm going to have a car next week. That's what God told me. I told you, I always had this problem. I would God tell me, just tell everybody. Yeah. And so I told my church I'm going to have my car next Sunday. And so I told him, you know, I need to talk to somebody. So y'all need to trust me till Monday morning for the 8%. God said, we don't do business like that. And I said, well, I don't need to talk to you. I need to talk to your boss. He said, I don't care who you talk to. And so I said, I'm on my way down there now. Talk to his boss. I'll come in and never forget. The salesman was kind of over in the corner pointing at me from my old car. You can see the smoke before I got there. You know what I'm saying? And they were pointing at me, you know, and he was laughing, kind of chuckling, and pointed me to the office where the general manager was. Didn't bother me. You know, I'm a man of faith. I'm determined. You understand? I'm determined. So I go in there and look at the guy, tell him who I am, and I tell him my banker is trusting me for the next 3 years for 92% of this, for the price of this car. I need you to trust me till Monday morning for 8%. Talk about God. He ran back in his chair and looked at me, picked up the phone and called Make Ready and said, get this preacher car ready for him. Sunday in an after offering, after we had already raised the tithes and offering for the church. And I was telling everybody, I said, Pastor has a car. Everybody's clapping. I said, now Pastor needs some money. Yeah, this is over and above now, because we had already given the tithes off, so ain't nothing hurt. And I told him, and I said, my banker is trusting me in the morning for 8% of this. I mean, my car dealership is trusting me for 8% in the morning for this car. I need to take it. I said, I need you to help me. Let's pray. Pray. Then they gave. They gave so much money that day. Look, and see, God had this thing that whenever I had needs, I didn't have many members, but he'd blow in visitors. I didn't see him but that one time, but that's all right. Praise the Lord. Much love. I'm serious. There's so many times, isn't that right, Dr. B? So many times we had needs that, you know, we didn't have many members, but God was blowing a lot of visitors for that Sunday. You got it? And they raised enough money for me to have enough money to pay the insurance, to pay the 8%, and then have some gas money. I'm out of time. Dr. Britt.